So before we go and do the baptism in an hour or so, I would like to share just a few words about baptism. Not a full sermon, but just a couple of implications that I would like to on baptism that I would like to draw from what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Just two verses, actually. So if you have a Bible, you can open up at Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Yeah, Lord, and I thank you for how you are involved in our lives. And Lord, thank you for your intervention in Smile's life and in Andras' life. And we just pray for more, Lord. We pray for more of your power breaking through in the lives of people, Lord. Lord, we are a city filled with more than 180,000 people, Lord. We can have way more people, Lord, in your family, in your kingdom. Jesus, will you just use us as an international community, Lord, to reach many, many people and see, Lord, lives being changed in Jesus. And Lord, change us as we hear from your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, will you just speak to us in Jesus' name. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Two verses. And verse 26 begins with a great change that had taken place in the lives of these Galatians, just as a great change that had taken place in the lives of Andras and Smell. They have become sons of God, something of which they weren't before. And these two verses are, of course, part of a larger context of this letter. Paul, in Galatians, he was defending the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was calling the people back to the real Jesus. And these Christians, these Galatians, they were under the influence of some false teaching of so-called Judaists. And Judaists were a group of Christians, of Jewish Christians, so to say, that proclaimed, or they taught, the salvation of Jesus Christ plus the law of Moses. Or to say it in different words, faith plus works. They were saying that it's not enough to have faith in Jesus alone, but you need to keep the law of Moses as well, and very strictly, in order to be made right with God. That's what they were saying, just like their ancestors did. And so, you know, in their teaching, they were calling the believers back to the former dispensation of the law. But, says Paul, they forget the whole point that the law of Moses can't impart life. And the law of Moses was given until the coming of Jesus. And now that Jesus has come, everything has changed. Everything. And what the law couldn't do is what Jesus did. And one of the changes that Jesus brought was this change from slavery into sonship. You know, this weekend we were surprised by the dramatic change of the Brexit. But the significance of the change of Jesus is way deeper than the Brexit, even though that's kind of worse. You know? But the dramatic change that Jesus brought in Smile's life, in Anders' life, in my life, in your life, is the change in identity, in status, in position before God. Before, they were slaves. They were slaves to sin, says Paul. They were slaves to the law of Moses. They were slaves to the basic principles of this world. to the religious rules of this world. And a slave is not a free person. No, a slave is bound, is controlled, is ruled by his master. And likewise, you know, the Galatians and we were bound, controlled, ruled, yes, imprisoned, says Paul, by these three forces. Imprisoned. But now, in Jesus, they've been freed from these controlling forces. And so says Paul in 4:7, and now you're no longer a slave, but a son, but a daughter. And they became sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. And this faith in Jesus alone is the means through which you become a son or a daughter of God. Faith alone. And not by keeping the law of Moses, not by keeping any other religious laws. No, faith in Jesus alone. And this is the true gospel. And it's Paul calling them back to the true gospel. And it's called calling them back to live as free sons and daughters of God, and to not go back to the mindset and life of slavery. You know, baptism is the story of lives being changed through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, you just heard a nutshell story of Smile and Abundance. Now, the baptism of Smile is indeed a testimony of Jesus, his free work. He has released him from the spirit of Islam, the spirit of fear, and adopted Smile as Son of God. The story of Andras is the powerful story of how Jesus freed him from the pressure of this world and released him into a new life as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus. Now you can fill in your own story. Baptism is the story of lives being changed through faith in Jesus Christ. And that brings me to the essence of baptism. Because what are we doing actually in an hour? Well, the essence of baptism, what baptism is all about, is your unification with Jesus Christ. You're made one with Jesus in baptism. Paul says, you are baptized into Christ. We baptize Smile and Andras, and hopefully a couple more people, into Christ. And into means entering in, coming in. And so through your baptism, you enter into Jesus. You enter into, or you're coming into a relationship with Jesus. You enter into his reality, into his kingdom, into his salvation, etc. You're baptized into Christ. Now wait a minute, you say. Isn't it through faith alone that you enter into a relationship with Jesus? Lawrence, are you right if you say that baptism is the way to enter? Well, yes, absolutely. Faith alone is indeed, you know, the only way to enter into a relationship with Jesus. But just as baptism is part of this entering into Jesus, so is faith part of it. And the other way around. Now, that's the whole point. You know, for Paul and all the New Testament apostles and disciples, faith and baptism are part of the same process. You know, they belong to one another. They're two sides of the same metal. As soon as someone came to faith in Jesus Christ, entered into the relationship with Jesus Christ, he or she was baptized. You know, there was hardly a gap between those two moments, to those elements. Today, we do things different. Often people come to faith today, And then it will take a couple of months, 6 months, smile, Andras, a year, before they get baptized, sometimes even years. I came to faith in 2001. I got baptized in 2002. It took me a year. Unthinkable in the ears of Paul and the other apostles. Unthinkable. If he would come into our service today, and this is not to offend yourself, but if he would come in and he would just walk through, you know, Dutch Christianity, and he was like, what do you guys do? What went wrong? What went wrong? A year of the saints? Come on. And true, there's no biblical basis to wait so long to get baptized. Now the biblical basis for baptism is you come to faith in Jesus and you get baptized. And why is this? Well, exactly because of what baptism means. You know, and I don't have the time to go into this very deeply. But baptism is the outward and visible sign of the change that Jesus brought in your inner life. The change, for example, from slavery into sonship, from a slave to a son. In Romans 6, Paul uses the metaphor of baptism as a burial, saying that baptism is a symbolic and spiritual burial where you demonstrate, no, this is where my old life ends. I die to it. I bury it. But this is also the moment where my new life in Jesus and with Jesus begins. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so am I united in his resurrection to live a new life. And so baptism is the mark of a new beginning of your life, of discipleship to Jesus. And although it is a symbolic demonstration, you know, there's nothing magical about the water, especially not the Orange Lake. And although it's symbolic, it involves deep spiritual implications. You know, and just as we believe that the Holy Spirit is with us and working through us as we take communion, the Lord's Supper, so may we believe, you know, that the Holy Spirit is with us in the baptism, and that he's working out all those spiritual implications in those who are being baptized. And one of those spiritual implications is to clothe yourself with Jesus. Let me repeat it again. You who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now what does that mean? You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the age of when I was 14, 15 years old. And I just began windsurfing. And for those who know me a bit longer, I'm really passionate about windsurfing. And you know, I was just sold to windsurfing. I was completely addicted to it. Now I'm free, of course. But you know, I wanted to act as a windsurfer. I wanted to live as a windsurfer. I wanted to behave as a windsurfer, as a surfer. And I wanted to clothe myself as a surfer. And so, you know, at the time, you know, I'm very old now, I was always looking to Beverly Hills 90210. Raise your hand if you've looked at that as well. Oh yes, thank God. You know, they were having those body glove t-shirts, these body gloves, surfboards and stuff like that. So I wanted this body glove t-shirt as well. The only thing was that they were quite expensive, like 90 euros, compared to now. So and I was only 14, so I had to work long and hard to get myself this t-shirt. But I wanted it, because I just want everyone to see if they would see me wearing this t-shirt, oh, he must be a surfer, he must be a cool dude. You know, even though they're not thinking it, that's what I wanted to show by myself. Still do, actually. But the thing is, you know, you can express how you feel, or at least how you want to feel. You can express what you think is important, your identity, with your clothes. You know, I saw a picture of you, Mark and Meredith. You're beautifully dressed. Everyone saw, hey, they're getting married today, right? So your identity and the way how you dress up yourself, well, they're deeply related, deeply connected. To clothe yourself with Jesus. Now the same thought of clothing yourself on a biblical basis is found in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, for example, he prophesied, "For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Zechariah, in a vision, he saw the high priest Joshua standing before an angel. And he said, Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said, take off his filthy clothes. And then he said, I've taken away your sin and I will put rich garments on you. To clothe yourself with Christ means that you put on the garments of salvation. And all that salvation means, holiness, righteousness, forgiveness, etc. To clothe yourself with Jesus means from now on, I live out my identity as a son or daughter of God who has made me right with him. Those garments are the garments in which I stand holy and blameless before God without any accusation. Now at this time of the year, traditionally, the children from the primary school who go to the elementary school after summer holidays have these musicals. If if you're a Dutch person, you probably have played in such a musical as well. It's just, I've played myself as well. But it's so cool to see that as soon as these children dress up with the clothes of their character, they begin to behave as their character. Right. That's the thing about clothing yourself with Jesus. As you take on the garments of Jesus, it defines your role, your character, your identity in the story of God. And the problem with these Galatians was that they began to act and behave in their former identities as slaves. That says, Paul, hey, you took off your new garments. You've clothed yourself, Jesus. So behave yourself as you are a son of God and not as a slave to fear again. To clothe yourself with Jesus means bringing yourself under the authority of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so baptism kind of brings you under the authority of Jesus. Now, from now on, it is Jesus who defines your life. You're no longer under the authority of sin. You're no longer under the authority of any religious laws that you made up for yourself, or that other people made up for you. You're no longer under the condemning power of the law of Moses. You're free. You're under the authority of Jesus. And this implies discipleship. To clothe yourself with Jesus means discipleship. In the baptism, you choose to serve and follow Jesus for the remainder of your life. And this baptism is an active act in which you appropriate all of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Now it's your active demonstration in which you say, the forgiveness that Jesus offered on the cross is what I accept and receive for myself. Or the new status and identity, holiness and righteousness, which is stand before God, that Jesus offered on the cross, is what I accept and receive for myself. Or as I get baptized, I demonstrate that all that exists, whether in the heavens or the earth, that I live under the authority of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He defines my life. And nothing else. And so, these are quite powerful implications, aren't they? Now, this is what Anders and Smile demonstrate this afternoon. This is what we're doing when we baptize people. They're putting on the new garments. They're bringing themselves in the authority of Jesus. And they express and demonstrate, we follow Jesus. Just a couple of verses later, verse 29, Paul reminds us that we as Christians are children of the promise. You know, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And even though, you know, my choice to follow Jesus, their choice to follow Jesus, your choice to follow Jesus, is made with full conviction, you and I will never follow Jesus perfectly on this side of eternity. Never. And yet, that's also what baptism means. Jesus doesn't want you to go through life as a spiritual beggar. No. In Jesus, you've entered, you've come into the realm of God's grace, in which all spiritual blessings are made available to you. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. And thus Jesus invites you and me into a life of fullness. And this life of fullness begins with your baptism, in which you appropriate all these blessings as you clothe yourself with Jesus. And so baptism is crucial for your life as a disciple of Jesus as long as you walk here on earth. And if you are following Jesus, but you're not yet baptized, well, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. Get baptized. Now let me close off. This whole idea, you know, something that I can grow so much deeper in, actually. And clothing yourself with Jesus, you know, is a very practical implication. You know, most of us stand